said about God is that the Bible always speaks of God as moving. So we have to stay up with him. We are, as human beings, generally, do not like change unless it's in our favor. But we have to change because God is a moving God. And there's always something going forward. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here today. And we're going to be studying today about God revealed himself as faithful. Amen. Faithfulness is important. It's vital. All of us appreciate it. If you if you have a vehicle that you're used to it starting, and then it doesn't start. Have you ever had that happen? You ever jump in your car and hit the key and nothing happened? You're not, whoa. You know, it gets your attention, doesn't it? Because that's faithfulness. You're used to it going. Have you ever flipped the light switch on and nothing happened? And you thought, oh, man, that was what I meant to do, was pay the bill. And so faithfulness is important. We're used to things happening. It's normal. Amen. We're used to the sun coming up every morning, setting every evening. We're used to that. And if it didn't come up, we'd be surprised. Thank God it's never failed, because that's a God thing. Amen. He's the one that started that. So it's never failed. It's always there. It's never gone out. And it always shines. And so God is faithful. We can trust him. We can count on him. You can't figure him out. You can't predict him. But he'll not fail you. If you trust him, he'll always be faithful. And that's what our lesson is about here today. All right, so our focus thought, God demonstrated himself to be always faithful throughout all his dealings with humankind. Focus verse is from the 7th chapter, the 9th verse of the book of Deuteronomy. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. That's a long time, isn't it? Amen. That's a really just another way of saying that his faithfulness is forever. He never fails. Our text comes from the book of Deuteronomy, beginning in verse number 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee, everybody say chosen, to be a special people unto him, himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he hath sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Amen. So God is merciful to his people, and God is just to his enemies. You don't want to be on that side of God. You cannot win. Amen. So then God is faithful. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. If we had the time today, and we do not, but we could have testimonies here of God's faithfulness, how God has been faithful to you. And I could certainly tell you that for my 60 years of life, God has been very faithful to me. And so he just is. We can trust him, and you can always trust him. because he never, ever fails. God is not only faithful, but he's faithful in every aspect. In every aspect of his being, God is faithful. Human beings, we try to be faithful, but sometimes circumstances get in the way. And we make promises that we can't keep. And everybody here, no matter how hard you've tried, there have been times you could not keep some promise that you made. Because circumstances happen to us. Schedules change. Things happen. Cars don't start. Amen. Things happen in life. We don't control. But God is not a victim of circumstance, but God controls circumstances. Amen. So circumstances don't control him. So therefore, God can and does keep his promises. Amen. Now, there's a beautiful verse in the Old Testament, Lamentations, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where the Lord said, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. Now, that's a good thing, because God's like he is. God doesn't need to change because he's perfect. And what happens if you change something that's perfect? Well, it becomes imperfect, right? So God doesn't need to change. Now, all of us need to change because none of us are perfect. And if you need help pointing something out, I can find something if you really need me to. Amen. And if I need some help, I'm sure you could point out a few things to help me in that area too. Because all of us need to change because we're imperfect. But God is perfect, therefore, doesn't need to change. Amen. The New Testament companion version to that, Hebrews 13:8, is also very beautiful. It said, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I like that. If you want to know how Jesus is, just read the New Testament. Amen. Read the New Testament, and he's always like that. Every day. God never has a bad day, ever. He never has a bad day. Amen. Every day. And that's why the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if we could approach every day like that, we'd understand life has some bad circumstances, but there's not a bad day. Sometimes we say, I'm having a bad day. Why? God made it. It's a good day. Nothing wrong with the day. Some of your circumstances may not be the best. And all of us have had days like that. I've also had days when I stayed in the muddy grubs and I shouldn't have. It was my fault I didn't have a good day. Then I've had days that circumstances were just pretty bad and it was just hard to get through the day. But God's grace prevailed and we got through it. And we live to have a better day. And so God is a God that is, he's always faithful. There's a group of people called deists. Deists believe that God created the earth, and then he just backed away from it and said, y'all have fun now, you hear? And left it alone. And human beings struggle every day, and God's not involved in anything we do. I'm not a deist. I believe that God is very involved. As a matter of fact, the New Testament said he knows the number of hairs on my head. And that changes frequently. When I left my shower this morning, I left some in there. So it changed. But he knows. In other words, God is intricately involved in your day-to-day living. And the Bible said, I love the verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, said, if you will acknowledge the Lord, he will direct your paths. God wants to be that involved, that if you will acknowledge him and take time to talk to him, he will direct you in life and he'll help you in life. And so I'm glad that God is very much involved in our lives when we allow him to be. If you want to shut God out, that's your decision. And you'll suffer consequences. But I don't want him shut out. I want him involved, very closely involved in the issues of my life. Amen. Now, this says God is immutable in nature. What in the world does immutable mean? Immutable means unchanging. Unchanging. So God is unchanging in his nature. Well, what do we mean by nature? A person's nature, another word I think for that, is especially human beings, is temperament. Your temperament is what you really are. What makes you act the way you do? What makes you think the way you do? Your temperament. There's a study that has been done that makes sense to me. Some people believe in it, some people don't. It's called just the study of temperaments. And it's an old theory. It's been around a long, long time. And human beings can basically be placed in the combination of five different temperaments. And what makes some people real laid back? You know what I mean? Have you ever met somebody that's real laid back? They're just kind of happy pretty much all the time. They got one speed. That's how they just go through life. That's the way they are. There's some people that are so geared, man. They wake up every day like, I mean, they get up on caffeine. And that's the way they are all day long. Some people got to be controlled of everything. I mean, they get nervous if anybody makes any decision besides them. They just can't stand it. And there's other people just seem to make all your decisions. You go ahead and make the decision, and I'll just be happy with it. What makes people like that? Temperament. Everybody's like that. Yeah, somebody's got to. Might as well be me. Amen. Well, somebody's going to take control anyway. And you know how it goes, right? You say, well, where are we going to eat? Well, it don't matter to me, just wherever you want to go. Well, let's go somewhere. Well, I don't want to go there. You ever had that conversation? But anywhere's all right with me. Let's not go there. Well, how about, I don't want to go there either. Well, we all have temperaments. Everybody's got them. And every temperament's important. One thing I've noted about choleric people, and choleric people are people that all big projects, huge projects, usually are headed by choleric people. They have a lot of vision, but they burn out pretty quick. They can't stay with it very long. And they get the idea and they're ready to go with it. But, you know, after they get it started, they're ready to go into something else. And if the project's going to get finished, it's people that's just day to day. You say, well, you know, let's see. We can get this done. And they just keep plodding along until they get it done. So you see, we need both, right? We need visionaries. Then we need people that just get the job done. Amen. And everybody loves sanguines. You know, sanguines are your best friend. Sanguines always have best friends. Everybody's their best friend. Amen. Until somebody, you're their best friend until somebody else comes along and that's your best friend. And everybody's their best friend, and sanguines are, you know, they're their favorite people. Everybody loves them, and they're just always happy, except when they're not. They're like a roller coaster, like this. That's just how their life is. But that's their temperaments, where they are. Everybody loves sanguines. Then you have melancholies. Melancholies are people that think life should be perfect, and they're so frustrated because it's not. But they're great at getting things done. Almost all great artists are melancholies. That's their temperaments, the way they are. Can't change them. They're like, it's like the sanguine and the melancholy riding along. And the sanguine says, wow, look at that beautiful field of yellow flowers. And the melancholy says, yeah, but it's got weeds in it. So, you know, I mean, they can find an ointment or a fly in the best ointment. Doesn't matter. I mean, they can always find something wrong, no matter how perfect it is. That's just a melancholy. That's the way they are. We need some melancholies. Melancholies make perfect things or near perfect things. And they all have benefit in life. Then you have a supine. And supines are people that'll, I mean, they think hardly think of themselves. They just put themselves into anything, and they'll work, 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 and they'll give. And that's their nature. Amen. But you have to acknowledge them. They need a lot of approval, a lot of positive reinforcement, a lot of praise. But they work endlessly. And so each temperament is important. All of us are. Everybody, and most people are a combination. Very few people are just strictly one thing or another. But that's the way, and God has a temperament. God has a nature. Now, your temperament does not change. What you are, you are. Now, you can hide that, and you can put on a different face. We call that a personality. Your personality is not the same thing as your temperament. You can force yourself. If you're not a person that's sanguine by nature, you can force yourself to be friendly for a time. You'll pay a price, but you can make yourself do things that are not you. And also, you can strengthen your weaknesses. You can, the areas that of your temperament, and all temperaments have weaknesses, you can learn to strengthen those weaknesses, and that enhances your temperament and your worth as a human being. You become a better person by learning how to strengthen weaknesses. And so that's all part of the process. But God's nature, that's who He is. That's who God is. It's His essentiality. And it doesn't change because God's perfect. He's the perfect blend of all things. And so that's God's nature is just, that's who God is. That's what God is. And it doesn't ever change. He's always the same. Amen. The Bible said the heaven and earth will wear out like a garment, but God will remain the same. His years will never end. Amen. And you know what happens to garments, right? You get one, you think, man, look at this new coat. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And that old thing, you know, a year later, I haven't anything to wear. It's got holes in it. Amen. Or you take it to the cleaners, and they take you to the cleaners, and they mess it up. Things happen to garments. And that happens, you know. I don't know if you've ever had a moth get a hold of something, but they can put holes in it. I had a coat once. I really liked it, and somehow a moth got a hold of it. And right there, I get a hole in it. A friend bought me a suit. He was a businessman, and he bought me a suit, and he paid more than I ever paid for a suit in my whole life. I really liked it. It was really nice. Best suit I ever owned. And that's why I was on deputation as a missionary. I took it to the cleaners. When I got it back, of course, I just had it in a plastic bag. I hung it up and went on down the road. And hundreds of miles away, when I took it out to wear it, they got it too hot. And they ruined it. And from that day on, you could never get wrinkles. You could iron it, get the wrinkles out of it. And 30 minutes later, they'd be back. And so garments, you know, they'll wear out. And something happens to them. But God, He doesn't change. What humans do, God doesn't. Amen. He's always the same. The Bible said that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that's important. And if you want to be like the Lord, it'll help you a whole lot more to look beyond the outward appearance. Learn to see people not just the way they appear on the outside. Boy, our society is full of that. James Dobson wrote in one of his books, he wrote that appearance is the golden coin of human worth. For us people are concerned. But what you look like on the outside is very, very important to human beings. And you know that. And the fact of the matter is, that's what you can do the least about. Your appearance, you know, the way you're born, you know, your face, that's just what you get. Your genes, you know, some people are going to struggle with weight issues their whole life because that's in their genes. Other people never wear, they can eat whatever they want to eat, whenever they want to eat, as much as they want. They'll never gain weight because it's in their genes. Now, skinny people don't believe that. They just believe we're all fat because we overeat. That's not true. I can smell food and gain 5 pounds. Well, almost. Seems that way. Amen. But it happens. It has to do with the genes, what you inherit. That's the way life is. We all struggle with something or another. And so we're physically, we can't do a whole lot about ourselves. We're born with a certain look. We're born with a certain skin pigment. And all of us, we all, certain kinds of ears. You know, there are certain traits that run in people's families. You know, some families have a certain kind of nose, certain kind of ears, and eye colors and all that. We can't do anything about those things. We're born with them. And some are more favored than others in societies and cultures. And so we can't do anything about that. Ogden Nash had a famous saying. He said, "As for beauty, I'm no great star. There are others more handsome by far, but my face, I don't mind it. I'm the one that's behind it. It's the folks out front that I jar." Amen. So people, you know, there's nothing, that's a healthy attitude. Just learn, well, you know, I don't have to look at it. You know, if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I don't have to see it. Amen. It's my face. I had to live with it every day. Amen. And but you know what? A smile makes everybody look better. Yes, it does. So, but God doesn't just look at your physical features. He looks on your heart. And that'll serve us well. There are some people that are beautiful on the outside, very ugly on the inside. There are people that are ugly both, you know. Poor things. But everybody, if you work at it, you can be beautiful on the inside. And if you are, it'll enhance and show up on the outside. Amen. So God looks on our heart. He really does. Amen. The scripture said of God's genuineness, "Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment of the vesture. Shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end." So God doesn't ever change, does he? It's always, always the same. That's what we mean when we say God is immutable. Amen. And so God, as immutable, doesn't need to change because he's perfect. There are four instances in the scripture where the Bible says that God repented. What does the word repent mean? It means to change, right? And we just said God didn't change. So what? How do you reconcile that? The fact that God doesn't change, and then it says God repented. Well, how is that? God's promises are always conditional, like ours, you know. We make promises to people, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And I'll do this if you'll do that. You see, they're conditional promises, and all of God's promises are conditional. He said, if you keep my commandments, this. You see, but God's performance is based on us doing a certain thing. And from the beginning, it's been so. The Bible says that in Genesis 6, verse 5 and 6, God repented that he'd made man, and it grieved him in his heart. Why is that? Because God created man in his image and his likeness, and then because of man's sin and rebellion, he went totally against what God created him to be. So because man broke God's covenant, then man became something that he was not created to be. And because of that, God had to change some things, and did, in order to correct things. He changed things. So based on man's failure, God had to change his plan. Now, he already had a plan set to correct that, so it didn't take him by surprise, and he didn't have to scurry around and try to find an answer. He already had a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But because of what man did, it grieved God. Now, if you love people, you're going to have some grief in your life. Isn't that right? People are going to hurt you sometimes if you love people. But if you don't love people, you're going to be miserable anyway. And that's just the way life is. But everybody knows that one way or the other, there's going to be some pain. There's a price that we pay for loving one another. And sometimes it's disappointment. God loved us, and because he did, he was grieved because of man's sin, man's rebellion against him. It grieved the heart of God. And then in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 14, God repented of his intention to destroy the people of Israel. Remember that? Moses came down from the mountain, and they had built this golden calf, and they're dancing around it, and just 40 days before that, they'd promised God they're going to be faithful and serve him and all of that. And just here they are serving this crazy idol that they've made, and they're, you know, they're took the clothes off, and they're dancing around, and they're acting crazy, and God became angry about it because they had told him 40 days earlier, we'll serve you. And so, yeah, God was angry. And he told Moses, he said, if you'll step back, he said, I'll just destroy them, and I'll start all over with you. And it'll take more time, but what's time to God? He's eternal. So he said, well, we'll start all over. And Moses said, Lord, if you're going to take their name out of the book, take my name out also. And that was very noble. And I really kind of think God might have just been trying Moses a little bit there to see how he really felt. And if he was more interested in his ego or in his people. And so God responded to Moses, and he still judged the people, didn't he? And many of them died. They still did. And God still judged folks. But he did spare and have mercy on Israel that day. And so because of their disobedience and their wickedness, God destroyed those that he did not find a repentant spirit in. And but he did, it grieved him. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Bible talks about Saul, the first king of Israel, that God repented that he'd made King Saul over Israel. Who selected Saul to be the king? People, didn't they? Oh, they were excited about Saul. He was a good-looking man. He was taller than everybody. He was a tall fella and a handsome fella. And they thought, man, he looks kingly. And so they anointed him to be king. God said, don't do it. Don't do it. But they did it anyway. And Saul started out well. But in time, being king went to his head. And he became unkingly and started doing things that were forbidden him. God told him to destroy all of the Amalekites. Because when Israel was crossing in the Exodus, the Amalekites attacked them in the wilderness and destroyed some of them. And God, at that time, turned to his prophet. He said, you write this in the book. He said, I'm going to destroy every one of these Amalekites. I'm going to kill every one of them. Now, 400 years passed from the time God said that. 400 years later, he told Saul, he said, now I want you to go destroy the Amalekites, because he said he was going to do it. Just because God doesn't do something the next day doesn't mean he forgot about it. Don't you forget that. Some people think, well, you know, God let me get away with it. No, it's not over yet. Just because God's judgment doesn't fall instantly doesn't mean it's not coming. God let that go on for 400 years. 400 years later, he said to Saul, destroy every one of them and everything they've got. All of their cattle, all of their sheep, all of their livestock. I want you to kill everything they have. leave nothing. My, that was a judgment of God. So Saul went against the Amalekites. He killed everything but the best. He got to thinking, well, you know, this would be a waste to kill all these good cows, all these good sheep. And I'll just keep them and I'll make a great sacrifice to God. I'll save the king. God was displeased because he disobeyed him. And then he offered a sacrifice. And the thing is that he's not supposed to offer sacrifices. That was Samuel's job. And here he is stepping into the office of a prophet. God was very displeased. And so he told Samuel, he said, you tell Saul that I'm going to take the kingdom away from him. And he did. By the way, do you know who killed Saul? An Amalekite. One of those people that God said destroy, and he didn't. It was one of them that took his life. The end of the day. And so God changed his mind about Saul, and because Saul changed his mind about God. And then there was another time, and I love this story, in Nineveh. Remember Nineveh? Nineveh was part of Assyria, and it was capital. And God said he's going to destroy the city. The prophet went and preached, and God had mercy, spared the city. So he's always faithful. And if people meet conditions, it allows God to have options that he wants to have. God always chooses to save given the option. But if we will not allow him to, then God has to send judgment. But he wants to have mercy. That's always God's first response. Man, on the other hand, is inconsistent. Amen. People change, don't they? Our entire world's in flux. Matter of fact, there's a natural law that proves this. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. Everything wears out. Anybody have any problem getting out of bed this morning? Anybody get up and aches and pains and you know you had to stand a minute to make sure everything was working before you took a step? Yep. You know why? Because you're wearing out. Amen. Amen. And you walked over to the door and you opened the door and there was a spot there. You said, man, I need to fix that. You know why? It was new not long ago, but now it's wore out. I need a new this. I need a new... Why? Because it wears out. Even mountains wear out. And water runs over rocks, and they wear out. Everything wears, and our whole system, it wears. Scientists say that the sun is burning out. Amen. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. You ever see a shooting star? They're beautiful. But you know what's happening? That's its swan song. It's dying. It's burning up. So nothing stays the same. Life is in flux. And it's just the way it is. That's our system. Everything changes. Human beings change. Amen. It's like they said, you know, the people get married and they work 20 years, change one another, and then say, well, you're not the person I married. Well, that was the whole idea, wasn't it? I know they got these problems, but I love them. I'll change them. And then they change, and you don't like them because it changed. How are you going to win that fight? You're not going to. It's part of life. It's the way human beings are. So people are not immutable. People change. All of us do. We all go through that. We all know that. We each have problems. All of us change. Amen. And then God is faithful in his character. Not only his nature, but his character. We can trust God in his faithfulness because God will be faithful. And we can trust his faithfulness. Amen. So he doesn't change into things that are good, things that are worthy. Let me get this thing to forward. There we go. All right. Human nature changes, doesn't it? Amen. Human beings, we have moods. Anybody, you ever heard anybody say, I'm in a bad mood? Well, they didn't really have to tell you. You could figure that out on your own. But we have these moods that rise and fall. Now, some people, they're like a thermometer. They're up and down. Amen. All the time. Constantly in fluctuation. Their moods rise and fall. Now, let me just say this about that. You need to get a handle on that. It's not good enough to excuse it. Let me say that one more time. That went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Amen. I said, you get a handle on that. You can control those things. Amen. And so we do. And as Christians, we need to change. We need to work on it. Now, I know it's not easy, but everybody needs to work on it. How is God? It says steady and true. Now, as a Christian, aren't we supposed to be like Him? And that our challenge? Then we can't allow our moods just to have their way with us. Now, if you wake up in a bad mood, be aware of that. You know, I'm a little ouchy today. And so you're going to have to make extra caution. You're going to have to weigh your words especially careful. And don't you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're just irritable. Everything gets on your nerve. Well, don't say much that day. Just keep your mouth shut. Words taste a whole lot better going out than they're coming in. And you will have to eat them. So just don't say them. Just don't say them. Just bite your tongue and say, I'll address that when I'm in a better mood. Just don't say. Just learn to control things. Learn to slow down. And so we have to work at it, but we do need to work at it. Learn to be steady. Learn to be true. Because that's what God is. And then sometimes human beings are unfaithful. God's always faithful. All of us have had the experience of having somebody that we trusted hurt us and do something that we didn't think they'd do. All of us. Anybody here had that experience? Amen. All of you here old enough to have had that experience. Yeah, all of us have. And oftentimes, they didn't. Sometimes they didn't really mean it. It's just things happen. And I've had the experience of people that, you know, greatly admire and then, you know, find out they have an Achilles heel just like I do. And every human being does. Everybody does. But human beings, no matter how well-intentioned we are, at times, we'll fail. But God is always faithful. He's always faithful. Amen. Now, for some people see God and say, well, He failed me here. That's because you don't know Him. You misunderstood Him. Amen. You interpreted some things the way you wanted to interpret them. He didn't change anything. You just didn't see. You wanted it your way, and you didn't get it your way. God's not a Burger King God. You know, that's their thing, have it your way. God's not into that. It's His way. Always His way. Because He's perfect and He doesn't change. So God's always faithful. And then human beings, sometimes we act out of character. And God always acts in character. Always. Sometimes we do. You and I have been surprised at people. Because we didn't think, I've heard this expression, you've heard this expression, well, I didn't know that they had that in them. Well, now you do. Because they acted out of character. You thought they were this way, and all of a sudden, zoom, they were like that, and you thought, whoa, what happened? Because they acted out of character, what you thought was their character anyway. And we human beings, that happens to us sometimes. Amen. And Brother Ron Mullings wrote a beautiful book, really interesting book, and I think of it often. He said, people are pitiful, and we're all people. And we're all people, every last one of us. Amen. So we're all in the same boat. Yes, we are. And we can trust even when we don't understand. Now, is that true? Can you trust things you don't understand? How many of you understand the principles of electricity? How many use electricity? So you do use things you don't understand. You do trust things. How many understand? And some of you do. But most of us don't really understand all the workings of an automobile, but we drive one. You see, we really trust a lot of things we don't understand. But then when it comes to God, say, I don't know about God because I don't understand Him. Well, everything else that man makes, you trust that. And you don't understand it, but you trust it till it fails you. Then you call AAA, hopefully, or somebody. And because it will fail if it's man-made. But you can trust God, but you have to trust Him even when you don't understand Him. And that's going to happen to you. This verse says a lot to me, and it helps a lot if you understand it. Listen closely. Isaiah 55, verse 9, the Lord said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God doesn't think like you think, and God's ways are not your ways. Now, wouldn't it be sad if they were? His everybody say, higher than ours. His thoughts are higher, and His ways are higher. And in that sense, they're all so much better. So, that's why we don't understand God, because we think on this plane, and God thinks way up there. We act down here, He acts up there. So His ways are much better than our ways, and His thoughts are much better than our thoughts. And so we have to, we'll never figure God out, but you can always trust Him. Amen. Job said this, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. Even though Job went through so many things, God never gave him an explanation for what happened to him. And as far as I know, God never gave him a word of encouragement until the end of it. He just let him go through it. Yes, He did. But Job had that kind of confidence even when he didn't understand. Now, remember that beautiful saying Job said? He said, the Lord giveth, and all of us love that verse, and the Lord taketh away, and we really don't like that verse. But the third stanza of the hardest to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Job sang that after the Lord had taken away. And so he was a man of great faith, and God honored him for that. Amen. And the scripture said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. In other words, you can keep trusting God and have faith because He's going to come through. Maybe not the way you can understand, but He will come through. God is constant in His dealings. The way He deals with people, the way He deals with situations. God will always act based on His character. God will never deny Himself or deny His character. He'll always be faithful to Himself. Amen. And so we see this in many, many situations in life, how that God always acts in His own way, and in what's best for us. You remember your mom and daddy saying certain things about what was best, and you didn't think it was best? Amen. You remember I'm telling you to eat certain things because they're good for you? Yeah, you do. Things you didn't like? Amen. And then you had kids and you understood. You remember saying, don't eat that, it'll spoil your dinner. Then guess what? You tell your kids the same thing. All that stuff you didn't understand. I didn't understand that either when they'd say, you know, my dad would get ready to give me a whipping. He'd say, now, son, this is going to hurt me. Where's it hurt you? And I thought, yeah, right. But when I became a father, I understood that. Of course, you know, Cherie, I didn't have to give any spankings. I could look at her, though, and get the message across. And she's a quick learner. Amen. And so, you know, God's like that. He has ways that are higher than ours. So we don't always understand because we're very, very limited. We're creatures of time, and God is creator of time. So we live in different worlds. Amen. But Abraham is an example of somebody that trusted in the character of God. The Bible said that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that he that promised, he was also able to perform it. So God, Abraham was faithful, and God proved himself to be faithful to Abraham. Did he not? Amen. And God always, everybody say always, always keeps his covenants. Amen. Deuteronomy 7:9 said, faithful, the faithful God which keepeth covenant. And in Psalm 89:34, he said, my covenant will I not break, nor after alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And then in 2 Corinthians 1:20, he said, for all the promises of God in him and in him, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So God's faithful to his promises. He's faithful. There's an interesting word that we read there in Deuteronomy. It's called covenant. In the Old Testament, they cut covenants. And that what they literally would do was they would actually cut their skin, and the other would cut their skin, and they would mingle their blood. And they called that cutting a covenant. They actually became one blood. And that was a serious step. That's more serious than a handshake. Now, in our culture, we don't do that. We remember people used to say, a man's word is his bond. And then we have another saying, a man is as good as his word. And there was a time when people pretty much honored that to some great degree. But that's not so anymore. And there was a time that you could seal a deal with a handshake. And you were really saying that, you know, I'm going to do this. If a guy said, I'll do this. And you could pretty well count him to do it. But not so anymore. And then we come to the time when we now have contracts. Pages and pages and pages of contract. And you sign your name. And by signing that, that's your bond. You're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pay this. I'm going to pay this much. And I'm going to pay it on this basis. On such and such date every month, I'm going to make a payment. And that's a contract. That's a covenant's what it is. You're saying, you do this and I'll do this. God made covenants with us. He said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And you can hold me to this and I'll hold you to that. That's what a covenant is. And so God's faithful for his part. He told us what he would do. And if we'll do what we say, he'll do what he said. And so they're still conditional, aren't they? Still conditional. So if I keep my word, God will keep his word. If I break my word, God will still keep his word. Amen, because he doesn't break his word. But there are some things that God does, or some things that happen to us because breaking covenants. There's always consequences. You can't change consequences. There are certain things. There's a consequence. For instance, there's what we call the law of gravity. You know what goes up must come down. So suppose I get up on the top of this building and I say, I'm going to break the law of gravity today. Watch me break the law of gravity. Well, I won't. I can challenge it, but I won't break it. It'll break me. Amen. That's what happened. See, consequences. Consequences. Because I say I'm going to break this, but it won't work. It's a law. And so many of the things that happen in our lives are consequences of breaking God's law. Isn't that right? I mean, the Bible gives us a lot of guidelines. And if we follow those guidelines, our lives are going to be a lot better. But if we don't follow those guidelines, then our life's going to be a lot harder. That's why they're in there, to help us. And so if we follow that, it'll be a lot better for us. If we don't, we're going to suffer. It's just the way it is. And so we have instruction, good instruction, but it's important that we follow that as well. And if we follow it, it'll be good. God keeps his word. I remember a time God sent a prophet, a reluctant prophet, by the way, by the name of Jonah, to a place called Nineveh. Remember that? He had a neat situation. He went part of the way on a ship and the rest of the way by whale or by fish. Now that's an interesting journey. And after riding 3 days in the belly of an old stinky fish, he was ready to get out. And so when that fish got sick and vomited him up on the shore of Nineveh, I mean to tell you, he was ready to preach by then. He said, I'm not going to, but changed his mind. And he went into Nineveh, and for 3 days, he preached one message. He preached the same message over and over and over again, saying, amen. Yet 3 days and Nineveh shall perish. Or 40 days, Nineveh shall perish. Nineveh shall perish. That was his message. No hope. Just judgment. And after he got through preaching, he climbed up on the hill and sat down under this gourd that God prepared and had a good shade. He was ready to see the destruction of Nineveh. But the king of Nineveh heard the message, and he called a fast. Everybody fasted. Every man, every woman, every child, every animal. They actually put covers on the animals' faces so that they couldn't eat. Everything in the kingdom fasted for 3 days. Everything. And God had mercy. Well, judgment didn't come. God spared Nineveh because they repented. Well, of course, Jonah was really upset. Remember that? I always thought that was funny. He got so upset, he said, God, this is why I didn't want to come. I knew you were going to do it. I'd get here and I'd preach and these people would repent. God, I wanted you to fry them. These are bad people. Horrible people. I wanted you to kill every one of them. Didn't get what he wanted, did he? Because God's faithful. There's a principle of repentance. People repent, God forgives. And he did. Even though it angered his prophet, God kept his word. Just like he always does. God always keeps his promises. He never fails. There's a beautiful song written by a man called Thomas Chisholm. 1923, and it says, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. I think I had that on here, didn't I? Yeah, there it is. Amen. Anybody know this song? Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Isn't that a beautiful song? Amen. Lamentations chapter 3 is its basis. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. God's faithful. Praise the Lord. Amen. The eternality and immutability of God guarantee the stability and welfare of the church. Amen. And so God's always the same. The heavens remind us, even though the heavens change, it's creation. And but it's to us, it's pretty stable, isn't it? I mean, it's there are changes. God allows changes in the heavens. But there's one thing that changes not, and that's the Lord. Amen. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You can count on him. You can depend on him. Amen. He's going to be the same. Let's stand together today and let's give God thanks. He's worthy. He's good. Amen. And let's